Epilogue. A lively murmur rose near the mouth of the Dragon Queen's royal hangar, then built to a rousing cheer. Tenel Ka, Queen Mother of the Hapes Consortium and uncontested monarch of 63 worlds, turned from the newly arrived Jade Shadow toward the sound. Dozens of crewpersons in fireproof refueling suits and tool-draped utilities were looking out through the containment field, pumping their arms and shouting in joy. But all Tenel Ka saw beyond the hangar mouth was the star-flecked darkness of the realm she ruled. It was strewn with the hulks of wrecked warships and laced with the ion trails of hundreds of rescue vessels. And she saw nothing joyful in that. She had retained her throne, but too many Hapens had died on both sides, and too much of the consortium's strength had been squandered on someone else's fight. And the ordeal was far from over. Soon, Tenel Ka's intelligence service would start bringing her names and prisoners, and she would be forced to deal the Queen's justice. Her advisers would recommend that it be brutal and swift, and her remaining nobles would expect their loyalty to be rewarded with a redistribution of the usurper's holdings. Tenel Ka would consider all their suggestions carefully, of course, but in the end she would keep her own counsel, and that was bound to disappoint everyone. After a moment, a GAG black shuttle slid into view and began to nose through the containment field. The cheering grew even louder, and a marshalling officer stepped forward with a pair of signal batons to direct the pilot to a nearby berth. Tenel Ka reached out in the force and was alarmed to feel the familiar presence of her daughter. Jason was returning Alana, and his timing could not have been worse. Tenel Ka turned back to the Jade Shadow and saw Mara and Jaina already carrying a stretcher down the boarding ramp toward her. It was too late to calm Jason and warn him. Instead, Tenel Ka reached out in the force, counting on him to sense her anxiety and figure out the reason. She felt a brief touch of warmth, then had to break off contact as Mara and Jaina reached the bottom of the ramp with their burden. Lying on the stretcher was Zek, pale, unconscious, and heavily bandaged around the middle. Tenel Ka's heart ached to see her old comrade in arms wounded so severely, but she forced herself to keep a blank face. It would not do for her ever-present retinue of loyal nobles to notice an arched brow or a quivering lip when she had just watched so many Hapens perish in stoic composure.
"Master Skywalker, Jedi Solo, welcome aboard."
Tenel Ka stepped forward to greet them, followed closely by the medical team she had brought to meet the Shadow.
"My surgeon is waiting in an operating theater. If you would entrust Zek to the transport team, they will take him up immediately." "That's very kind," Mara said. "We appreciate it."
"Yeah, thanks," Jaina added. "It means a lot."
They passed the stretcher to a pair of red-uniformed medics, who quickly placed Zek aboard a small hover sled, then zipped away toward the back of the hangar. Noticing how Jaina's gaze followed the sled all the way to the lift tubes, Tenel Ka stepped to her side.
"They'll take good care of him, Jaina."
Tenel Ka could sense that Jaina was a little irritated by all the cheering going on behind them, but there was nothing to be done about it. Even if the Queen Mother called for silence, she doubted the order could be carried out any time soon.
"Once they have prepared Zek for the operation, we can go up to wait in the infirmary."
"That'd be great," Jaina said. "But don't worry. Zek's as strong as a bantha these days."
Tenel Ka smiled.
"I'm glad to hear that. But I am a little confused. My surgeon said he had been told it was a lightsaber injury."
Jaina glanced at Mara, then said,
"It's a long story."
"Ben made a mistake," Mara said.
"Ben?"
Tenel Ka gasped.
"It wasn't an attack."
Mara's tone suggested she did not want to discuss Ben's mistake any further.
There was some confusion aboard the Falcon.
The Falcon?
Growing more confused herself by the moment, Tenelkot turned to Jaina.
But I thought the Master Skywalker found you in escape pods.
The Falcon's pods, Luke answered from the top of the boarding ramp. His cybernetic hand was missing, and his robes looked bulky around the middle, as though he, too, had a bandage wrapped around his chest. We're still trying to figure that out ourselves.
Master Skywalker, you're hurt, too, Tenelkot cried. If you had told us...
I'm fine. I've just come out of a healing trance. Luke sounded as haggard as he looked. He glanced toward the GAG shuttle, which was now surrounded by jubilant Hapens, and asked, Is that Jason everyone is cheering for?
Yes, it is.
Tenelkot turned toward the shuttle, where Jason had descended the boarding ramp and was beginning to make his way toward them through the cheering throng. Major Aspara was with him, but Alana had apparently been left aboard with Aspara's aides.
After destroying the Galni fleet and saving me, Jason has become quite the hero of loyal Hapens.
A hero? Jaina asked. You've got to be kidding.
Not at all,
Tenelkot said sternly. Given the warm reception Jason was receiving from her subjects, she was considering whether it might be possible to reveal Alana's paternity. Not having the secret to keep would certainly simplify her life, and her nobles, at least the loyal ones, would never be more receptive to the truth than they were right now.
Jason saved my life, and with it the Hapen monarchy.
Jaina's face hardened, as only Jaina's face could.
Does that give him an excuse to fire on his own parents?
Tenelkot frowned.
I'm not sure I heard you correctly. Did you really say that Jason had fired on Han and Leia?
I'm afraid she did, Luke said grimly. He started down the ramp, followed by Ben and a Twi'lek in Alliance military utilities. The Falcon had already jumped by the time we arrived from Roku, but it sounds like the Anakin hit her pretty hard.
You're sure?
Tenelkot could not believe what she was hearing.
It doesn't make sense. We're having trouble understanding a lot of what Jason has been doing, Mara said.
As Luke reached the bottom of the ramp, she stepped to his side.
Now that matters are settling down in the consortium, we're hoping to have a chance to work some of those things out.
The disapproving undertone in Mara's voice and the bitterness in Luke's made Tenelkot's heart fall. After their meeting aboard the Anakin Solo, Jason had told her that the Skywalkers were losing faith in him, that they even suspected him of working with Lumia. And now she could see how right he was. Tenelkot turned to Ben.
What do you know about this? I find it difficult to believe Jason would open fire on his own parents.
He didn't have a choice, Ben said. They're terrorists, and they were trying to escape.
Terrorists?
Tenelkot was crushed to hear the boy say such a thing.
Ben, that's just not true.
I'm afraid it is, Jason said, emerging from his throng of admirers. The suspicions Aunt Mara voiced during our meeting aboard the Anakin were right after all. Mara scowled.
They were?
Yes, and I apologize for not considering your point more carefully, Jason said. But events have certainly proven you correct. The intelligence my parents provided regarding Dutch Algray did us more harm than good, and they were certainly involved in the attack on Her Majesty. The cold anger in Jason's voice made Tenelkot even sadder. But she was beginning to understand what had happened. to see how he had misinterpreted events to reach a terrible conclusion.
"Jason, you can't believe your parents would do such a thing."
Tenel Kah realized the crowd had quieted around them, straining to hear, and she knew that whatever she said next might determine how the Solos would be viewed in galactic histories, whether they would be remembered as idealistic heroes or amoral terrorists.
"Han and Leia Solo had as much to do with saving the crown as you did," she said, speaking evenly and clearly. "They risked their lives to provide me with the reversion coordinates of the Algrey fleet."
Jason's eyes widened. "They did?"
"Yes,"
Tenel Kah said.
"Furthermore, the Solos placed themselves at even greater risk to make sure the Royal Navy stood firm until Admiral Boitu attacked."
Jason's expression changed from shock to shame, and Tenel Ka's sadness began to lift. Clearly, the attack on the Falcon had been the result of a terrible misunderstanding. Jason had made a grave mistake, but only because he was overcompensating, trying too hard to avoid letting his personal feelings influence his judgment. That was certainly what Tenel Kah hoped, and what she chose to believe.
"I am sure your parents will be fine."
Tenel Kah addressed this to both Jason and Jaina, but in her heart she was speaking more to Jason. He was the one who had made the mistake, and she knew how he would blame himself if any harm came to them because of it.
"No one is more capable of taking care of themselves under difficult circumstances, and I'll issue orders for all Hapen vessels to aid them in every way possible." "That can't hurt," Mara said. "But nobody's going to see them until they're a long way from here. They'll go stealth until they find some place safe to land."
Luke nodded. "That's right. I'll reach out to Leia in the Force. Try to let her know that help is available if they need it." He turned to Jason, his brow lowered in disapproval. "But we need to talk. You're very quick to believe the worst about someone you love. That's a problem." Jason's eyes burned with resentment, and Tenel Kah understood why. After all, wasn't Luke assuming the worst about Jason and Lumia?
"That's not fair, Master Skywalker," Tenel Kah said. "Jason's suspicions were based on the information available to him at the time."
"The difference is, our suspicions haven't harmed anyone. Jason has put his parents in mortal danger." Luke cast a meaningful glance at Tenel Kah's retinue, then added, "Perhaps we could talk about this aboard the Shadow?"
"As you wish."
Though Tenel Kah made it sound as though she were granting a favor, she was relieved to have any excuse to get the Skywalkers and Jaina off the hangar deck so she could sneak Alana away from the shuttle. Given the schism of mistrust that had opened between Jason and everyone else, revealing her daughter's paternity no longer seemed like a good idea.
"I'll be along in a moment. There are a few things I need to attend to here."
"Of course." Luke bowed and led the others back aboard the Shadow. Tenel Kah waited until they were gone, then turned to the crowd of crewpersons that had gathered around the confrontation.
"And you thought Hapen politics were treacherous," she said in a light, if rather forced, tone.
A self-conscious laugh rustled through the crowd, more in acknowledgment of the Queen Mother's attempt at humor than because Tenel Kah had finally learned to tell a joke.
"But now your fun is over. Back to work with you."
She made a shooing motion, and the crowd began to disperse. Tenel Kah turned to the nobles who always accumulated around her when she permitted it. She motioned Major Aspara forward, then frowned at the absence of one of the most familiar faces in her retinue.
"Where is Lady Galni?"
she asked, frowning. I asked her to stay close.
A nervous voice sounded from the back of the flock.
Here, Majesty.
As if by magic, an aisle opened through Tenelka's retinue. At the other end stood Lady Galny, her eyes fixed on the deck and her chin tucked to her chest. The force grew electric with anticipation, and Tenelka knew that these raptors she called nobles smelled blood.
"Would you come forward, please? There's something I need you and Major Aspara to do for me."
"Of course, Majesty."
Galny shuffled forward, her legs shaking so hard they nearly buckled twice. Of course, her fellow nobles only watched and smirked, convinced their peer was going to receive the punishment she so richly deserved for having had the misfortune to be sister to the sneakiest of the Heritage Council's many traitors. Galny stopped in front of Tenelka, then found the strength to look up.
"If I may, Majesty, I would like to be heard before you speak."
"Very well," Tenelka said, "but we don't have much time. You know how pushy those Jedi can be."
This drew a genuine chuckle from the nobles, but Galny remained nervous and somber.
I know it won't change your decision, but I want to apologize."
Tenelka met the woman's gaze and frowned.
"For what, Lady Galny?"
"For my role in all this," she said. "I never would have—"
"Milady Galny,"
Tenelka interrupted,
"I may not be a member of the Jedi Order any longer, but I assure you I still retain the skills of a Jedi Knight. Don't you think I would have known if you had meant to betray me?"
Of course," Galny answered, confused. "Nevertheless, I did. My tongue was too free with my consort, and he was reporting everything I told him
to your sister."
Tenelka interrupted.
"I know. And I'm quite sure that is a mistake you will never make again."
She glanced toward the shadow.
"Now, may I make my request?"
Galny's chin dropped again.
"Of course, Majesty."
"Thank you."
She pointed at Jason's black GAG shuttle.
"Alana is aboard that shuttle, and you are a familiar face to her. I'd like you and Major Aspara to retrieve her and take her to your cabin."
Galny's eyes widened.
"My cabin, Majesty?"
"Yes, and allow no one inside until I arrive."
Tenelka turned to Aspara.
"Is that clear, Major?"
Aspara looked as confused as Galny, but she was too accustomed to taking orders to question them now.
"Yes, Majesty."
"Good."
Tenelka turned back to Galny.
"I'll join you as soon as I'm able."
Galny continued to look bewildered.
"Majesty, if you're trying to spare me the pain of knowing—"
"Lady Galny, I am not my grandmother,"
Tenelka interrupted.
"I don't execute my subjects for the crimes of their sisters. As for your consort, we'll talk about your choice in men some other time."
She turned to Aspara.
"Are my instructions clear, Major?"
"Yes, Majesty."
"Then carry on."
Tenelka started up the shadow's boarding ramp, but when her retinue broke into a drone of shocked voices, she stopped and turned around.
"If you're aboard the Dragon Queen, there's supposed to be a reason." My advice to you all is to figure out what that reason is and start attending to it.
The retinue fell into stunned silence, then suddenly dissolved as noblewomen scurried for the hangar exits. Tenel Ka smiled to herself, and, thinking she just might stand a chance of bringing Hapes into the modern galaxy, ascended the boarding ramp. She entered the opulent passenger salon of the Jade Shadow to find the discussion already in full swing. Luke and Jaina were standing on one side of the central beverage table, with Jason and Ben on the other, and Mara caught between. She was addressing her nephew, but looking like she just wished everyone would take a seat and calm down.
"Supposed to think, Jason."
Mara's tone was reasonable, but pointed.
"You sent us there to meet Ben. Instead, Lumia ambushes us."
"That doesn't mean I sent her," Jason responded.
Tenel Ka knew how upset he was by the fact that she could not feel him in the Force. He always closed himself off when he grew angry.
"You said yourself that you were worried she was after Ben."
"Ben wasn't there," Luke said.
"I was supposed to be," Ben interrupted.
"Jason dropped a message beacon ordering the rover to go to Roku Depot, but we ignored it."
"You what?"
Mara asked, facing Ben.
"We ignored the order."
Ben turned to Jaina.
"Ask Jaina. It was her idea."
All eyes turned to Jaina, who reluctantly nodded.
"I pretty much insisted on it. We needed to warn the Queen Mother about the Dacha."
Ben turned back to Luke.
"You see? It wasn't Jason's fault."
"You ignoring an order doesn't explain how Lumia knew we would be there," Mara pointed out, "or why she's been working with GAG.
"And I wish I had the answer to that," Jason said. "I'll be looking into it as soon as the Anakin returns to Coruscant. I want the answer more than you do. I can promise that."
"Can you?" Luke asked, keeping his gaze fixed on Jason.
"Of course he can,"
Tenel Ka said, stepping to Jason's side.
"A few minutes ago, you rebuked Jason for being too quick to believe the worst of those he loves, and here you are, doing the same thing."
Luke frowned, clearly irritated with her, but Mara sighed and looked at her husband.
"She has a point, Luke. We really don't have any more evidence against Jason than he did against Han and Leia. The battle's over. Maybe it's time we all holstered our blasters and tried to work things out like family."
"That sounds good to me," Jason said. "I'll be the first to admit that I've made some mistakes, but I have been working for the good of the Alliance, and I know you have too."
Luke considered Jason's words for a moment before speaking again. "What about your parents?"
"They're family too." "I can't cancel the detention warrant, if that's what you're asking."
Jason's words shocked Tenel Ka to the core.
"Jason, if not for your parents, I wouldn't be alive. Neither would Alana."
Jason's face grew as sad as it was hard, and Tenel Ka knew that even she would not be able to change his mind about this. He was convinced that his duty compelled him to ignore his feelings for his family, and she found that terribly painful. And when she remembered that she and Alana were his family too, just a little frightening.
"I know that," Jason said to her. "They risked their lives to save you, but they still have crimes against the Alliance to answer for."
He returned his attention to Luke.
"If Han and Leia Solo are having second thoughts about their political loyalties, we can negotiate a safe surrender and suitable confinement."
"Surrender?" Jaina exploded. "Confinement? They'll never—"
"Don't you think I know that?"
Jason replied, just as hotly.
But if I cancel the warrant on them, it will look like I'm giving my parents special treatment, and I can't do that. There's one law, Jaina, and it applies to everyone, even to Solos.
They risked their lives to save Tenel Ka, Jaina objected. They're not terrorists.
I know, Jason said. But they're not innocent either.
Jaina exhaled in frustration, then looked to Luke in silent appeal. Luke stared at the floor for a moment, then looked up to meet Jason's eyes.
Okay. But I haven't changed my mind about Ben. He's still coming back to Coruscant with us.
What? Ben cried. No way! Jason is my master!
That's not your decision, Ben, Luke said. And Jason isn't a master.
He is to me, Ben retorted. No one's as strong in the Force.
It's your father's decision, Jason said.
He raised a hand to silence Ben, then turned back to Luke.
But is it really necessary? Now that Lumia is dead...
What makes you think she's dead? Mara asked.
You do, Jason answered, frowning. Not 5 minutes ago, you said she was wearing
a bomb that exploded after we left the cantina, Luke reminded him. We don't know that Lumia was still wearing it.
And if I had to guess, I'd say she wasn't,
Mara added.
It took nearly 2 minutes for that bomb to detonate. Even with her chest wounds, that would have been plenty of time to escape.
Which is certainly what we should assume, Luke said. I won't believe Lumia is dead until I slide her body into the crematorium myself.
I see.
Jason's gaze dropped to the floor, growing distant and glassy. When he finally raised it again, he looked Luke straight in the eye, steady, calm, and collected.
Then I guess I should trust your judgment. After all, I've never even met the woman.
Luke held Jason's eyes.
I hope that's true, Jason.
Jason's expression darkened, but before he could speak, Ben stepped between the two men and scowled up at his father.
Of course it's true, Ben exclaimed. Jason is trying to protect the galaxy. Why doesn't anyone understand that but me?
I understand it, Ben,
Tenel Ka said, trying to divert the storm she felt gathering.
And I am sure your father does, too.
Tenel Ka cast an expectant look in Luke's direction, but he only continued to study Jason, and Tenel Ka felt the tension continuing to build. So did Mara, apparently. She stepped closer to Ben and laid a hand on his shoulder.
Ben, we're all trying to save the galaxy, she said, but we don't always agree on how it should be done.
And that's why I can't stay with Jason? Ben demanded. That's ridiculous!
The reason you can't stay with Jason is because I'm ordering you to return home with us, Luke said sternly. And the reason I'm doing that is because Lumia told me you were the one helping her in GAG.
What?
Tenel Ka exclaimed the word at the same time Jason and Ben did, then watched Jason's expression turn from shocked to angry to enigmatic. Ben merely seemed confused.
And you believe her? He demanded.
No, Luke answered. He glanced back toward Jason. But somebody has been helping her. And until I know who that is,
you need to stay away from GAG, Jason finished. Your father is right to be cautious, Ben.
But you're my master, Ben objected.
And I'm asking you to stay with your parents until I've sorted this out.
Jason looked up at Luke, then added,
I'm sure we'll be working together again much sooner than you expect.
Tenel Ka's heart fell at the challenging tone of Jason's voice. But Luke seemed to accept the statement without animosity. "I hope we'll all be working together again soon." Luke reached across and clasped Jason's arm. "I know better than to think you'll accept my help. But let me know how the investigation goes. I'll be very interested to learn more about Lumia's involvement." "Of course," Jason replied. Though he was not allowing his feelings to seep into the Force, Tenel Ka could tell by the slight tightening of his lips that he had taken Luke's comment as something of a threat. "And now, if you'll excuse me, I really should return to the Anakin and get started on that." Jason said his farewells to the Skywalkers, then turned to Tenel Ka. "Your Majesty, if all is well..."
"It is,"
Tenel Ka said. She took his arm and, heart-breaking, started toward the hatch with him.
"Jason, what can I say? We are in your debt."
"No," Jason said. "The Alliance is in yours. Thanks to the Consortium's courage here, we may have broken the Corellians' ability to make war."
They stopped just inside the hatch, where they would be hidden from the hangar floor, but still be visible from the passenger salon of the Shadow. It would be, Tenel Ka knew, the most privacy they were likely to find for a long, long time. She took Jason's hand.
"All the same, we are grateful," she said. "Please let us know if there is anything we can do for you, and feel free to visit us again when you have time. You will find a warm welcome among our subjects."
"Thank you, Majesty."
Jason bowed.
"I will."
"Good. We will be looking forward to it."
Tenel Ka kissed Jason on the cheek, then fought to keep back the tears as she watched him step through the hatch and once more vanish from her life.